Brian had told me, he said, I don't know if I can sing and play this yet. But that was I'll Fly Away. And believe it or not, he just started learning to do that, I think maybe about 3 weeks ago. So he's come a long way. Thankful for him willing to try. I know Blaine has a desire to sing. Sing quartet music, and he loves quartet music. I'm not just saying this right now. A lot of times he gets in, he'll come over to the house and sometimes and spend a little time with me on the farm. And he, first thing he wants to do when he gets in the truck is turn quartet music on. And he said, listen, Brother Casey, you ever heard this group or this group? And of course, being a young man, he wants to turn it all the way up, you know. And my prayer is for Blaine is that he'll know what it is when he sings that song, I'll Fly Away, to know what it is in his heart one day, to know what it is, to know that one morning he'll fly away. And that's what I intend to do one day after a while, is fly away from this old world. And I'm thankful for that. Appreciate him. Appreciate the good song service this morning. Looking forward to going down to Old Fashioned Gospel Hour here in just a little while. And I need your prayers this morning. I really do. I'm not one normally to share with my wife or different ones what the Lord puts on my heart. But last night as we were sitting there in the couch and me and Jessica was talking, and I said, I'm really struggling trying to get settled on something this morning. And for those of you that know what it is to be called to preach, you can relate to that. You know what it is, and sometimes the Lord just gives you a thought, and it's kind of, I don't want to say it's easy, but He gives you right where you need to go. And sometimes, maybe just me, I struggle with that. And so this morning, I believe I finally got settled on something. So I need your prayers that the Lord might have all the honor and glory this morning. My thought this morning is on money. It's on money. And I guess my thought really, I've thought about this for some time, and we're going to look over in some of Timothy's writing, and we're also going to look over in the 22nd chapter of Numbers this morning. But I want to say this, and we'll get into this just in a moment. As Brother Buddy was talking about in Sunday school, there's a lot of things that will draw our attention away from God. And I realized this morning that there are ones that I realize that we need to preach the gospel. But I also believe this morning, as Paul exhorted Timothy, he told him to preach the word of God and to be instant in season and out of season. And we realize all of these things. But I realized this morning that also the church needs a little encouragement along the way. And that seems like maybe that's where our heart's been the last several weeks. But I want you to know this morning that if you're here and lost, that doesn't change anything about your condition, that you still need to be saved. But I'll say this. It seems like the world today has a lot of things that draw them away. And y'all have heard me talk about my growing up and different times. You don't want to get into dispute of who was raised up poor or anything of that nature. But we didn't have a whole lot growing up. But the Lord has been good to me. And I'm thankful this morning that you don't have to be rich and you necessarily don't have to be poor to be a child of God. And so we want to talk about money just a little bit this morning. And with that being said, I feel the need to read over in Timothy first. We'll go over to the first epistle that Paul wrote to Timothy in the 6th chapter. He says, well, let's start here in about the third verse. He said, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but dotting about questions of strife of words, wherefore cometh envy, strife, railing, and evil summons. Perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw themselves. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now we'll stop here for just a moment. And I realize there's a lot of times, sometimes folks will get behind you, and sometimes when you get to, it seems like you get to preaching on money, sometimes people have a hard time with that. But I want to say this morning that money is not a bad thing. I want you to understand what I'm saying. Money is not a bad thing. But Paul says the love of money is the root of all evil. And that is what he's saying as he brings this forth. Now he says that godliness with contentment is great gain. And I began to ponder about some of these things this morning. And it seems to me, even in the day and world that we live in, as a preacher was saying Wednesday night, that in our mind it seems awful flashy. And things seem very appealing to us. It seems maybe that we work our whole life to have a lot of gain, if you will. I can remember back when, and y'all pray for me, I need the help of the Lord this morning. But it seems like maybe when I was growing up, I didn't never realize that we were poor. I didn't realize that I didn't have nearly as much as what my neighbor friends had. I didn't realize that that we didn't have a whole lot. It was just our way of living. I didn't think about when we went to our grandparents' house that they didn't have a whole lot. But I'll say this, that I'm thankful that they loved me enough, that they weren't trying to give me worldly things that they knew that would perish away, but they were trying to give me something that was eternal. Now, they couldn't save me, but they could point me to the one that could. And this morning, I guess that's kind of where our thought is, that and I reflect towards a younger generation, even towards my age. And I look around even in our churches today, not just here, but as a total, it seems like my age group is the ones that's suffering. They're out trying to make a living for themselves, and they're trying to raise a young family. They're trying to build a home, and I respect all of that. I believe Paul teaches about that, that it's an honorable thing for a man to work and provide for his family. I believe that, but my friend, this morning, we cannot forsake the things of God. Those things are essential. And there's a lot of times in my life that I have to look back, and I realize that I have, if I'm just being honest with you this morning, when I was a young man and I got out of high school and was determined, I started working public work when I was 14 years old. I started pumping gas and trying to make money. And it seemed like from then on, I was always trying to make as much money as I could. I would work. I was talking with Brother Ronnie the other night, and he said, you know, Brother Casey, it seems like now I don't have time to get things done. And he says, when I was younger, I would work plumb tonight and work all day long and go home and work. And I was the same way. When I was a young man, I worked a full-time job. I was raising a crop of tobacco on my own. And it seems like I was constantly trying to work and trying to work. And
make as much money as I could. And I want you to understand something this morning. There's nothing wrong with working. But my friend, when you leave God out, and it's all about gain and trying to promote yourself, that's not right. That's not right. Now, I remember when my first boy was born, I told y'all before, all I'd ever really wanted to be was a daddy. And y'all might think that's silly and foolish, but I just wanted to be a dad. And I can remember when my first boy, I held him in my arms and I thought, boy, I want to give him the world. I want to give him everything I didn't have. And I can remember not long after that, the Lord convicted me over that. In a sense that you're trying to give him the world, you need to give him me. Point him to me. Don't give him those things that'll perish, but give him to me. Point him to me. And my friend, this morning, that seems to be, it's almost like we're trying to fill a void in our life with material things, trying to give things to young people. And listen, I don't know how y'all, this is not totally where I was going this morning, but I'm just going to tell you what's on my heart. You try to give your children toys and give them all of these things to fill a void, to make them happy. And if we're being honest with ourselves this morning, my children would be just as happy with a cardboard box and playing and being children. It seems like anymore children don't know how to have an imagination anymore. They don't know how to go out and play with sticks and things of that nature. We're just trying to put something in front of them to keep them occupied. Let's just purchase more and more so that they're occupied with their time and we don't have to deal with it. But folks, I'm telling you this morning, and then we want to sit back and wonder why the nation and things are in the shape and the condition that they're in, my friend, because we're trying to give them more and more things, just more things. They don't have enough. Let's give them a little more. And then we would sit back and wonder why things are the way they are. Well, folks, I'll tell you. Things ain't going to get them there. Stuff ain't going to do it. Everything, as Brother Buddy said this morning, as Solomon said there in Ecclesiastes, he said that all of these things, I believe Solomon had tried it all. He had dabbled in a little bit of everything. And he said all of this is vanity. It's all nothing. It's all meaningless. Now listen this morning. I'm not saying this morning that God, that our homes and all of those things are meaningless. But what I'm saying is we need to have a thankful heart and we need to understand where it comes from. If we've got anything in this world, it's come from God. It's all His anyway. And we need to understand that all of these things that we see, that we occupies our time and it occupies our mind and all of these, every bit of it's going to burn up one day after a while. Every bit of it is. It seems like in my time, it seems like we want to try to get, and I'm just speaking for myself. We want to try to give our kids everything that we didn't have. And what I'd rather give them and show them is Jesus. Yeah, Daddy might be able, I could work all my life and give them a farm and work all my life and maybe give them a house that's 60, 70, 100 years old already. But the things that they're going to cherish, or I pray that they cherish, is my daddy was a praying man. When I'm dead and gone and I've prayed and I've lived my life and my life is over with, I want them to remember that daddy was a praying man. I want them to remember the times when they sit there and maybe they was occupied and where's daddy at? Daddy's reading his Bible. He's preparing for a sermon. I want them to remember those things about me. Not that daddy bought me this gift and daddy bought me that gift. Listen, all of that's going to perish one day after a while. And we sit back and we wonder why the churches, and listen, young people are not in church today. It's because, I'm just being honest with you, they've got their mind focused upon the things of the world and what the world can give them. My friend, I'll just be honest with you. Every bit of that stuff will bring you destruction. I've tried it. I've been there before. I've went out and bought vehicles. I've lost jobs. I've been broke. Maybe we're hearing more and more. I'm just being honest with you. I've tried it all. But I'm telling you, the greatest thing that you can do in your life is serve the Lord. Now, Paul was telling him, he said, now, godliness with contentment is great gain. Being content with what God's given you. Has He not been good to us? Listen, when the children of Israel were brought out of Egypt and they were crossing into the promised land, their shoes never wore out, did they? My friend, we need to be content with what God's given us. God's been good to us. He said, for He brought us into this world with nothing, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Certainly this morning, when I leave this old world, there ain't but one thing I'm going to have with me, and that's what God done for me as a 9-year-old little boy. So you ask me what I want to leave behind. I want to leave behind my children. Not that I might be able to be puffed up, but that they might know that Daddy tried his best to serve the Lord. Did I fail? Absolutely. Did I fall many times? Absolutely. But you remember, the things that I remember about my grandparents the most is the things that they tried to point me to, was the things of God. Those things are the things that have stuck with me through the years. So it's not money that's evil. God can use money, and I believe God loves a cheerful giver. I believe He does. This morning, you might say, well, Brother Casey, there's a lot of times, if we're to be mission-minded and then we're to have a desire that the gospel message might go out, I realize this morning that we can't all go different places that our missionaries go to. But I tell you what we can do. We can help them. We can support them. We can love them. We can pray for them that they take the message there and preach about Jesus Christ. I don't know if you realize this morning, but that's partially how our Sunday school, the money that we take up in Sunday school, that's how we support those things. That's how we support our missions. That's how we pay our electric bills. That's how we provide and do the basic needs here in this church that we need to do. That's how we pay our bills. We support what's going on here. I feel like I'm losing y'all. That's how we provide for those things. I can't always, listen, we can't go on every absolute mission field it is, but we can support those that do go, can't we? I've heard stories of Brother David Swindle talking about how that they went to Hawaii and he didn't have anything to sleep on. They slept on blow-up mattresses. He couldn't find work, and finally he found work doing roof work. He took his family. Do you know why he took his family to Hawaii? Because God told him to go. And then his family was struggling to eat, and he was wondering where they was going to provide and come up with the money. And listen, that's our responsibility as God's people to say, I don't have the burden to go to Hawaii, but you do, and I'm going to make sure that you have what you need when you go. But sometimes, if we're not careful, that money becomes real partial to us, doesn't it? You know, I believe we need to give from the heart. I do. I believe we need to give from the heart. I'm not asking, listen, I wouldn't even think about going this way this morning, but that's all right. We need to give from the heart, and I know this church is such a giving church. They are. I had concerns when I first come here. I thought, Lord, I don't want people to misunderstand. I've never, not one time have I ever went anywhere to preach for money, and I won't do it. I don't want people to get the wrong impression of why I'm here. I'm here because God, I believe in all of my heart, wants me to be here. And this church has been good to me. But I'm saying beyond that, we need to continue in doing what we're doing. We have things here that we need to care for, and we also need to care for those that are out on the mission field. It's not about this morning how much that we can bank up in our bank account. I'm not saying, once again, that money is a bad thing, but I'm telling you the love of money is the root of all evil. It's the root of all evil. Now, there was a man, I'm not going to dag around too long, but I want to say a few words. Over here in the 22nd chapter of Numbers. We have here just a few chapters that we'll read about a man. I'm going to do some skipping around here for the sake of time. 22nd chapter of Numbers. It says, "And the children of Israel set forth and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side of Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was so afraid of the people because there were many, and Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, Now shall this company lick up all that are around about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. And he sent messengers before unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, Behold, there is a great people that come out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. And it says, Now come therefore, I pray thee, to curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I want that he whom thou blessed is blessed, and he whom thou cursed is cursed. And I want to skip down here in this 8th verse. It says, And he said unto them, Lodge here this night. And this is Balaam speaking. And it says, Lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, What men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, had sent unto me, saying, Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, Get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose, and they went to Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. And it says, Balak sent yet again the princes, and more honorable they. And they came unto Balaam and said unto him, Thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, Let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, If Balak would give me this house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore, I pray thee, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. And God come unto Balaam that at night and said unto him, If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them, but yet the word which I shall say unto thee, thou shalt do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his donkey and went with the princes of Moab. Now, I want to stop there for just a moment, and I know that's a right smarter reading this morning. And I'll be honest with you, I've thought about this, and we have here this short description of a man by the name of Balaam. And you'll find him in the scriptures even unto about the 31st chapter here of Numbers. And I don't necessarily, I know that God would use him, but I foresee him, as you will, and you can find even places in the New Testament Bible It's him being a false prophet, if you will. But either way, the king here of Moab had heard about his greatness and what he was able to do, and I believe him to have been more or less at the time a soothsayer, if you will. They believed in a lot of those things at the time, but either way, God would go on to use him to speak through him, and he was able to give some visions of some things that he was able to see. But nonetheless, you'll find here that this king had come to him and told him, now as they had viewed and heard about what the armies of Israel had done unto the Amorites, they had a great fear about them. And my friend, this morning I want you to understand that it seems to me that maybe God's people, and I don't know, but it seems like maybe God's people, we've got a little weak. It seems like we've let the things of the world get upon us. It seems like maybe our attention's more focused upon the world. And my friend, as Satan looks out, he sees that weakness. And Satan wants to attack. And it seems like maybe this has been on my heart for some time about Satan. But now, folks, I don't know how else to be with you this morning. Satan does nothing but seek and devour. And that's exactly what he wants to do this morning. And my friend, he's looking out and he's seeing weaknesses. He's seeing the things that's upon our hearts. I know the scripture teaches us where our heart is, there's also our treasure. And my friend, this morning we need to be focused on heavenly things. We need to be focused on the lost. We need to be focused upon God's Word. We need to be focused upon advancing this kingdom. We need to be focused upon spreading the gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ. We need to be focused upon these things and not the things of the world which are going to perish. That's what we need to be focused on. Now, my friend, I'll just be honest with you this morning. If there's things that's taking you away from the house of God, if there's things that are taking you away from the service of God, then we need to get them out of the way. And my friend, I believe God's big enough this morning that He can help us. How do I know? Because He's helped me. He's helped me. They looked out and they had a great fear upon them. And they sent for Balaam that he might come. He might curse them. And God said, "You shall not curse them, for they're a blessed people." So they went away and Balak sent them again. He said, "Tell him I'll give him whatever he desires. I'll give it to him." And Balaam said, "I cannot go against the word of the Lord." He said, "Even if you was to give me all the gold and the silver in your house, I cannot go against the will of God." Now, I want you to know and understand, I believe in all of my heart, there was some perceptions there. There was some things going on in Balaam's heart that God knows the heart this morning. He knows the heart. And I believe he knew his heart. He knew his intention. Yes, God had spoke to him, but God would become angered with him. Now, he told him, he said, "If they request you to go, you go with them." But that next morning, he saddled his donkey, and he went on anyway. God did not tell him to go. Now, my friend, this morning, I want you to know we need to be patient, and we need to wait upon the Lord. And my friend, my heart's been heavy for our church. My heart's been heavy in a sense that I'm ready to see a great revival break out. I'm ready to see the Spirit of God move amongst God's people. I'm ready to see us getting away, my friend, that God is pleased with us. And I'm not saying that He's not, but my friend, we cannot limit the Lord this morning. We've got to know and believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And my friend, this morning, we need to get serious about God's business. But I'm afraid that there's too many things of this world that has our focus. There's just so much going on. I'm going to tell you, from a daddy that works a full-time job, raises three kids, pastors a church, farms, soccer games, basketball games, things that are going on in the church, to say that I don't stay busy is an understatement. And it's almost very easy sometimes to let the things that are not of God stand in my way. But I want to tell you something. Anybody else ever had a whipping from God? There's been many a times in my life the Lord has showed me, you see these little boys, you want them to be saved someday, then you need to make way for me, and I need to be first in your life. Them boys being saved to me means more than anything, and it ain't just them boys, it's your little boys, and it's your grandchildren. It's your nieces, it's your nephews. They mean more to me. I can't stand the thought of them dying and perishing and burning forever without God. And folks, we all need to have that mentality this morning. It ought to grieve our heart to think about them dying and perishing without ever being saved. It ought to crawl in bed with us at night. It ought to get our attention. But I'm telling you, we live in a world today where young people are focused upon, and it ain't just young people, it's old people too. It's all of us. We're focused upon the things of the world. We're focused upon what the world can give us and not focused upon what God can give us. Has the Lord not been the best paymaster you've ever had? When you sit back and you think about what God's given you in your life and you examine it, has He not been good to you? Has He not blessed you far beyond what you could even imagine? Yeah, He's been good to us. So here it is. It says here in this 22nd verse, it says, and God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his donkey, and his two servants were with him. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword was drawn in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field, and Balaam smote that donkey to turn her into the way. And the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on both sides, and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place, and there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left hand. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the donkey with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the donkey, because thou hast mocked me, there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill thee. And the donkey said unto Balaam, am I not thy donkey upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do unto thee? And he said, nay. And the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword was drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat upon his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine donkey these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And I want to stop there for just a moment. And I just want to try to narrow some of this up for you. I think about a lot of times, I realize the world today says, well, here it is. You're talking about a talking donkey. And that may seem extraordinary to us, and I hope it does to you this morning. But I want you to know that God can use anything to speak to us if we allow it to. I believe here it is, you have a donkey doesn't have the makeup, if you will. He doesn't know what it is to have a voice box. He doesn't have any of those things. And here it is, I believe that God was speaking through this donkey. I believe God allowed this donkey to be used. And here it is that Balaam, his anger was risen against this donkey. And the donkey said, well, you've ridden me since you was able to. He said, have I ever done anything out of the way? And Balaam began to examine himself. He couldn't see the Lord, the angel of the Lord, and I believe that was no more than the Lord Jesus. He couldn't see Him. He was blinded to Him. And how many times in our life were we blinded by our own actions and the things that we desire and the things that we think? But He said He would hinder him from going left or right. And this morning, a lot of times, if we're not careful, we want to go left or right. We want to do what's right in our own eyes. We want to try to do what makes sense to us. And we look around this morning and we see the things in our homes and we see the things that are going on in our life and we see the things that are going on in our nation and we see everything that's going on and sometimes we just want to sit back and listen, we live in a society, it's a perverse generation that we live in. There's all kinds of things. When I was a kid, I never would have dreamed of things that they'd have on TV. Listen, we're a society of people that thinks that we can just throw money at something and make it go away. And my friend, listen, sin is a problem and it ain't going to go away. It ain't. You can't just throw money at something and make it go away. Is that not how the government is? A lot of times they just want to throw money at something and make it go away. We're so focused on going our own way sometimes. When we just need to stay on the straight and narrow path. Looking to the Lord. Money, when it's used in the right way, there ain't a thing in the world. I've heard we talk about a lot of times that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. You know why that rich man, you know why he went to hell? He didn't go to hell because he was rich. He went to hell because he failed to believe and repent and trust in the Lord Jesus. People don't go to hell because they're rich. You know what happened to that rich young ruler? He wasn't able to give up all his possessions. He was holding on to the things of the world. And folks, I'm going to tell you right now, to be a child of God, there ain't nothing wrong in this world. I have known a lot of people that have had a lot of money. And they've been some of the greatest Christian people I've ever met for in my life. They loved to give. They wanted to help the cause. They were promoting the things of God. And that's what we're to do. And this morning, but I want you to know and understand that the things of this world, they'll bring you pleasure for a little while, but they won't give you the pleasure like God can give you. We need to stop trying to give our kids and our grandkids the world. I told my mama and them, I'm just going to tell you this and then I'll be done. We'd go to Christmas over at our families, and I love my mother. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. We'd go to Christmas over at my mother's house, and we'd leave there with three trash bags full of stuff. I'm not kidding. I'm not talking about little bitty 13-gallon trash bags. I'm talking about 55-gallon trash bags. Jessica attested. You ain't never seen gifts in all your life. She said, well, I just love them. I know you love them. I know you do. But they don't need all of that. They've got more than what they know what to do with. When I was a kid growing up, we didn't have all that, and I didn't miss it. We've got to stop giving them so much stuff. Spend time with them. Quit trying to give them the world and point them to Jesus. Bring them to church. Bring them to Sunday school. Spend time with them. Because I'm telling you right now, you keep giving them those things, and those things, and those things. And then when they get older, they expect those things to keep coming. And they'll work their whole life to try to gain things. I don't know if I made any sense this morning. But you can read about Balaam and his destruction. You can read about him in 2 Peter. You can read about him in Jude. You can read about he was killed with a sword in the 31st chapter of Numbers. He was slew with a sword for his ungodliness, his sin. This morning, I'm telling you, the love of money. Money's not evil, but it's the love of money. And you ask me how I know that, I've been there. When I got out of high school, I'm going to tell this to the young people, and then I'll be done. I graduated high school. Y'all might laugh at this, but that'd be all right. Everybody had diesel trucks. And I thought, boy, I want me one of them diesel trucks. I was working a full-time job. I was a senior in high school working second shift at a factory. I'd go to school in the morning. I'd get off at school, and I'd go work his second shift to get off at 11 o'clock at night, go to school the next morning. I had to have me one of them diesel trucks. Guess what? I got one. Went in debt the first time in my life. Well, guess what happened to that diesel truck? It tore up. Nobody told me how much it was going to cost to fix it. Nobody told me any of that stuff. And what becomes something so little to me become a real big problem real quick. The devil wants to make things look real flashy and look real good. And I'd been better off had I just stuck in my old pickup truck. It was already paid for and just driving around in there. But I didn't. I thought I had to be like everybody else. And being like everybody else will get you in trouble. Being like everybody else. So take my advice today. Don't let the love of money stand in your way from serving the Lord. Because it will. I love you this morning. I hope this is a help to you. I pray today as we look out, we can find what's important to us. And that's making sure our children and grandchildren, the best that we can, are in the house of God. To hear about the Lord. I'm thankful that He give me something that's worth a treasure to me that I wouldn't give up for nothing in this world. He's put a treasure in my heart that there ain't enough money in this world today that would buy it. It wouldn't matter to me if they come to me and offered me $1 billion for it. That's how much this right here means to me. More than any amount of money is the peace that I have in my heart. Money can't touch this. Money can't buy. That's what God can do for you this morning. If you don't know Him, I pray that you seek Him. That'd be our thought this morning. Brother, if we'll have a song, we'll come around and shake hands with one another.